Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefeo on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow.
The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Good evening. Welcome to Gather Round. There's always some kind of a surprise waiting for us. Right now, we seem to be lagging with Blog Talk. Anyway, hello, Monique. Monique Johnson from Healthy Movements International starts us off tonight on our last show before Thanksgiving, so we'll just make it a Thanksgiving show, too. So how are you, my friend?
I am good. How are you doing today?
We are wonderful here in this part of Illinois. We finally have our power on. Our computers are up. It's like, okay. Everybody here wasn't quite that fortunate, but lots of tornado activity.
I did not even know.
Yeah, it was, they said that possibly there was more tornadoes, and I believe Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, maybe Missouri, in just that very short time, you know, under 24 hours, than there usually is all year. It was quite something, but where I am, we're all good. So.
Y'all,
and you've
good.
Been traveling. You've been out running the country.
Yes, as usual. It's travel time for me.
Yeah.
Last trip we went back to Seattle, and we drove the coast. Since we love that state, we're going to keep going back and see if there's a spot where we would want to plant our feet for you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, though, just to be along the coastline and, you know, just have so much nature without it having signs that says, you know, private beach or not open to the public or having, you know, the sand spotted with 20 million people.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So beautiful. And then we went up to Mount Rainier and then Mount St. Helens. And it just, these are, I have not seen the earth in such a way before. I haven't seen that part of how beautiful the earth is. So I was totally excited. And then we're leaving tomorrow to go kind of do the same thing in Colorado. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, you talked about driving the coast. Were you on Route 1?
That's exactly
wonderful. Where
we were.
Yeah.
It's
that's
just beautiful.
Yeah.
And
but Colorado's a whole other thing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Well, you know, we will see how different it is. You know, my husband has this love for, I call it a road warrior.
Okay.
Where you take, you know, 3 or 4 days and you're in the car most of the time, but, you know, you're stopping and checking out the forests and the trails, doing a little hiking, sitting on the beach, and then getting back in the car and just exploring land. So we're going to be doing that a little bit here and there more than we've ever really done before. So we'll see how Colorado is. I've heard some really beautiful things about it, so I'm excited to see.
Yeah, okay. So what do you have for us tonight, then?
Yes, so tonight I wanted to really discuss a little bit about density and so contraction and expansion. So and when we talk about things that hold us back, that would be more of a contraction. or a density. And when we talk about being free and liberated to make, you know, choices to, or free enough just to allow life to kind of guide us through a little bit, that is called, that's when I'm talking about the expansion. And so in between these two areas, I just call these, you know, tools of life to use, because it is not as if one is, quote unquote, better than another. They both serve a certain purpose in certain parts of our lives. And when we think of these two, when I'm going to take this a little bit more personal, because all I can speak from is my own shoes. And if you're not my same shoe size, please don't wear these shoes. So anyway, when we start to, when I start to go deep into how these showed up in my life, there were times and sections, whole sections of life that I was in contraction. And how that showed up for me is that I was in a very controlling part of life where, you know, maybe I wasn't trying to control the external, but I definitely was trying to control the internal, control how I think, control what I do, control what I say, control, you know. And I started on that road because I had the intention of wanting to be a good person, to, you know, show love, to, you know, all these wonderful intentions. And I started to use form, which is more the contraction or the dense part of us, use form to try to relate this formless way of energy, because love, really, in the essence of it, is formless. So when I went down the road of trying to make the energy of how I felt into form, I went into control. So I was in that for a long time, and then, you know, everything kind of aligned to serve that intention in life of going down that road using that tactic. So I was in a very controlling religion, fundamentalist religion. There was a part of the happiness part came from I was in alignment. So I truly was doing what I believed. I just was in a belief system that was very controlled. So anyway, that worked toward a certain purpose, but I was getting more condensed, and even more condensed than I already was when I started that. And how I could also tell that is my ability to see both sides of any coin was lessened. It became harder for me to see the other side of a coin than other what my belief system was, other than what I had conditioned myself to believe, other than what I was conditioning myself on how to behave. Other than that, anything else was either hard to see, I couldn't even begin to see people who were in that place, or it was judged, therefore hard to accept, was unacceptable. So there was a point in time, and so since I spent so long in that place, I really felt like hindsight is I perfected that tool. I can control the heck out of anything if that is my intention. So being at a certain point, though, I had to let go. The healthy part of life made me let go. And when I say it like that, what I am talking about is the mind part of my life, the mental brain processor, which was determining what my actions were, that was creating my whole life experience. The part of me that is even deeper than the mind, the part of me that is just pure conscious energy, consciousness, is it has intelligence awareness. So it is deep. It is able to even make the mind let go of stuff, even though it can be very hard, because the mind can even create pain in the body. So where we think the densest part of us or the hardest part to change is the physical, in actuality, I would ask people to try on, perhaps it's the mental that is the hardest. And if we change our mindset, if we change the way that we think or see a thing, then the physical aspects of what that manifests out in the physical world, then that will change too. And a lot of times we start to look at trying to change our minds by going through the body. And I'm not saying that doesn't work. But what I'm saying is it's possibly that is the harder route. Because think of it like this. Well, I was just I'm in the midst of planning a fitness and nutrition summit. And as I plan all these physical parts of this, I open up kind of to the universe to be like, you know, what else is needed here for us to look at it from a different perspective? And a lot of times we know, okay, well, we can control the body by, you know, the weight of the body, by how many calories we control, how much things we eat, how much this, how much that, and we are going down the branch of control to change our weight. But that technically, is, even if you don't call it a diet, those are technically diet types of tactics. So what I would say is, you know, okay, embrace that if that is your truth and da-da-da, but soften your hold on that being the total way of handling that situation and go to the energetic part of it. Go into the mind. Go into what are my conditioned beliefs about food, period. What is my conditioned beliefs about the way my body looks at a certain weight? If we can truly see those things clearly and start to address those things, then we don't have to go so much down the road of control to adjust and maintain the weight of the body. Now, I say that from a place of my own shoes. And as I bring my own experience with this, because I've been playing with it for a while, I think it was 28, was the time that I realized that my butt was beginning to grow a little bit bigger than what I was used to it had been. And I was like 32, and I was like, okay, my whole body is just a quarter bit bigger than what I'm used to seeing it as. Then I hit like 35, 36, 37, and it was like, oh, my goodness, how in the world do I deal with this? One, I knew I had to go into self-acceptance and always, always, always coach myself into being into self-acceptance. And if I passed that mirror and I judged what I saw, I would back my butt up, get in that mirror until I could find compassion and love for myself and my body. So that was my first thing that I had to do because innately I knew that. Then I would start to, you know, kind of tell the body, well, you know, I accept this, and I love you that this is where I am, because I never have been a person that the body is who I am. It's just where I am. And so I would try to get my weight a little bit less, and I would just talk to my thighs and be like, you know, I'm loving you, but good Lord, could you get a little smaller? I just would prefer that. I'll accept you how you are, but motivate me to do what it takes to get you a little bit smaller if there's something I'm doing. So you see, I was really working from the energy part of it. And then when I would go about my day, through the day, I would be conscious of what I put in my mouth. And there will be some times that, yes, I would eat like 10 miniature Snickers or something, whatever, you know, even more, whatever. There would be times that I would eat something more than what technically the calories would da-da-da-da-da-da, but I would be conscious as I do that. And so gradually, one, the balancing of my higher self, we talked about the seven chakras. The upper chakras above the heart, those are the higher self. So balancing the energetic way that I dealt with, viewed, talked to this physical body, I had to go into that as well as my lower self or my earth self, my denser self, which is the body itself. If we deal with only one, then I would say the best one to deal with is the energetic, because we know that the energetic automatically, eventually, is the manifestation of what the physical, what the dense part looks like. The dense part is a manifestation of the non-dense part. But if you're really going to approach the subject holistically as a whole being, then you're going to address the dense part, the bodies, the, you know, understand how calories work and all of that, and then as well as address the upper half, the upper self. Most of us, I believe, in this Western world, address only the lower three chakras, which is the dense part, which goes into fears, fears of being too big, fear of being unhealthy, fear of dropping dead, goes into the shames and the blame. Then when you eat, it's like blame, and then the guilt, the feeling guilt. So all these are the emotional energies of the lower three chakras. So if that is the only thing you're dealing with, then it's going to be a constant battle, and we have to go deeper and deeper into control. So that is kind of my that's the tea talk for today. And the reason why this has served me well, too, to kind of verbalize this is because this has been kind of the journey I've been walking with my body and the journey I have been walking in getting in the physical, keeping the physical healthy side of things. Yes, I do exercises, and I do walk. I love to dance. I do all these things, but I don't do any of them regimentedly. And I tell you what, there are times where I am a couch potato working from the computer side of things for weeks at a time, where I haven't had an exercise class or anything like that, you know. So yeah. I am not a slave to any movement modality, even though I 100% embrace movement is needed for a healthy being. But if you kind of are soft in life and allowing life to flow you, then you will get the movement in. And if there's a section of time that you don't, then your life will make sure you get back in balance, because you're truly the fullness of your flow is a healthy life. So that's it.
Okay. Well, no, that's very good. And being so aware, it makes a difference. Well, it just does. That was me when I became aware of what the horrible stuff I was eating was doing to my body. I just stopped, and yeah. I got even healthier, and I dropped tons of weight. And it's just, you know, you have to be aware. So
yes.
I thank you, and I want to say enjoy Colorado. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you in
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Turkey Day.
Right. Well, we're going to play a Thanksgiving song right now. So I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, very good. Awesome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Wow. Okay, it was Mary Chapin Carpenter. And now we have Rita. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Well, we have just tonight, one of our guests, the one after you, just realized that she had gotten her times confused. So we're just like rearranging things, and Sarit's coming in earlier, and you know, it's all good. But tonight you're going to talk with us about abate. This is Rita Mullen from the, I believe, River Valley Regional Club, am I right? And
it
this is Kiki River Valley. And a lot of people have heard of abate, whether they're into the motorcycle world or not. And I know some just think, well, that's another one of those crazy biker thingies. And, you know, I want to start out by saying that if someone were to meet you on the street, the last thing they would think is that you're some crazy biker chick. You really don't look like that, Rita. You're even shorter than I am. So right there, it's like, my God, she's 5 foot tall and little. So, you know, she's a biker. But you have been doing this bike riding for way more than half your life. And, in fact, you started out illegally driving cars when you were like 12 or 13. And so the bike was right around that time too, right?
Yes. Yeah, you could do that back then, you know, and nobody was cracking down on everything. And, you know, they weren't quite as watchful as they are now.
Right. Did you use helmets and things when you started?
Actually, I always have, just because that's the way my father did it. So that's what he kind of impressed upon me. I mean, we only have one brain, and it's just my own personal belief that I need it protected. However, it's an individual choice. And
right.
That's one of the great things about abate.
Well, right. That you were talking with me about abate. That seemed like that came across loud and clear. You give people the facts, and you're very clear to say that it is their choice. And so abate actually lobbies in Illinois. Springfield's our capital, and abate does lobbying and everything there for basically freedom of choice. Am I right?
Yes, yes, it is. And as you know, abate actually stands for a brotherhood aimed towards education. Education meaning that not only do we educate other bikers, but we also educate drivers of any kind in any vehicle.
Well, speaking on that, I wonder if you would just give us a little, you were way into the safety and everything for years, but a few years ago, well, I should say Rita's my cousin, so we're going to talk about my cousin, her daughter, also was hit by a driver of a car, and that brought a lot of things back home, didn't it?
Oh, it certainly did, and you know, it was one hell of a good thing that she had her equipment on. She had her gloves on, you know, she had boots on. That basically saved her foot from being severed by this car. And it was not a high rate of speed accident either, so it wasn't like they were out going 55 or 60 miles an hour or anything like that. You know, it was an accident that had happened in town. And so that's why awareness is so great. I mean, it just, you can't stress it enough. Be aware. There are motorcycles out there. They do have the exact same rights that anyone driving a car has. And, everyone needs to be aware.
Right. There was something that abate, and as you said, that stands for Brotherhood Aimed Toward Education. They, and you have gone in schools talking to youngsters is part of the driving driver's ed program.
Oh, yes. Actually, all of Kankakee County is our district, and we are allowed to go into those schools and do several safety courses. The one thing that we do is want to educate them on how easy it is to miss things, even though you should see them. You don't always, and the kids are very receptive. We're not trying to push on them to ride motorcycles by any means. All we're doing is giving them safety tips and letting them know by films, by personal experience, and by answering their questions, and by giving them a little quiz that gives them a lot of information that they aren't quite familiar with. And also, again, lets them know that if you do want to ride a motorcycle, you have choice. You know, you have choice. We don't say to go against the law by any means, but you have a choice whether or not to ride a helmet. You know, it's your own personal choice.
Right.
So,
well,
and
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And a lot of them don't realize that, you know, but it is not a mandatory law here in Illinois. So,
right. It is in some states, though, I believe.
It is. And we have a little card made up, and we take that with us so that whenever we're traveling, because we travel quite extensively, and that way we are prepared and we always have our helmets with us. I wear mine. My husband chooses, again, not to.
Yeah.
So.
Right. When I ride with you all and your friends, and, of course, I'm always on the back, always a helmet. I can't, yeah, not. But that's, again, it's a choice. But I wanted to mention, when you teach the students, you have something that Abate has, just a little card, a little paper that they give them. And we all are aware that we have a blind spot. This is amazing. Would you want to explain that little card? Anybody can try?
Yes, it's right on the back of our, actually, we give them a little quiz. And before we give them the quiz, we always tell them to do this, and it says to hold the paper about 10 inches from your face, and there's a motorcycle rider that looks like a policeman on the left side, and on the right side there's a dot, not quite as big as a pencil eraser. And if you hold this paper 10 inches from your face, when you cover your right eye and stare at the dot, the motorcycle totally disappears. And it's to show you that everybody has a blind spot in each eye. And that's the reason that people are crippled or killed, you know, thousands of them on motorcycles every year. You know, you just have to be aware, and it just shows you how easy it is and wants to make people more aware that there are blind spots. And, you know, you just need to really be aware of that.
Right. That was just so impressive. I mean, something so simple, but so impressive. Like, wow, you just don't think that until you just see it, because you think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I can see. I'm not like that. And then you actually hold the paper and do it, and it's like, okay, then.
Yes, maybe, it's quite eye-opening.
Yeah, literally, it's like, okay, this, yeah, it makes a difference. What have you had as response from the youngsters that you talked to?
We've had great response. We just went to Bradley Bourbonnais High School, and they did four classes, of which I was present for two. And the kids really, really liked it. They got into it. They liked the fact that we brought in different articles for them to try on, different types of helmets, different gear, you know, and they were like, wow, how much does this cost, you know, and we'd say, what a range that you could get. We would tell them what that particular thing cost, and then we would say, you know, there are ranges from this to this, and the most important thing that you need to remember is that if you choose to wear a helmet, please get one that is Department of Transportation inspected. It'll have a little DOT on the back of it, because not all helmets do. Not all helmets are. So they are more safe than others. Again, it's your choice to wear or not to wear. But, you know, we give them some tips like that, and they're just very receptive. They want to know, you know, when we started riding, how long. And it was very funny when the class instructor this time introduced me, and he just said, you know, now, would you think Rita, you know, is a biker chick? And they were like, no. And, you know, why not? She doesn't have any tattoos. She doesn't have any leathers. I just had my boots on. I didn't have anything else. And, you know, different things like that. And so it was quite comical to see that they had already stereotyped what a biker chick, quote, was supposed to be.
Right.
And so they were all kinds of asking questions. I mean, they were really, really good on the QT about motorcycles on the roadway. You know, motorists should look all the time for them, and they were like, oh, really? You know, I thought it was you guys that were supposed to look out for us driving the car. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's and then again, we said, you know, we have rules of the road, the same rules of the road that you have. So both of us are supposed to be watching for the other.
Right.
So, you know, and they were like, I don't know, some of them got these pictures of people doing wheelies down the road, you know, and asked about that kind of thing, you know, and we said, did you realize that you're not allowed to do that? And you can get in lots of trouble doing that. But, you know, they were really, most of the questions that they asked were very sincere and just right to the point, you know. And some of them already knew a little bit about riding a motorcycle. Others had no clue. But the point we were trying to get across always is safety, safety. And we are so tiny compared to a car, a bus, a truck, or anything else that, you know, not only do we need to look out for you, but you need to look out for us.
Exactly. And that, I mean, like you say, I mean, so tiny in comparison. Years ago, a friend of mine, she put her bike under a semi, and I mean, obviously, the man probably hadn't seen her, but whatever, you know, and the helmet saved her head, for sure. Even it cracked, but her head didn't. And
right.
So, I mean, I've always, like you, it's like, oh, yeah, wear a helmet. Just, But I know it feels good to have your hair blowing in the wind and all that, but, you know, maybe not that good later on. I wanted to say that the website, people can find out more about Abate in Illinois anyway at www.abate.il.org. And it's a good website. It has the different of the clubs, and it has products for sale. So, which, you know, serves to help the programs that Abate puts on. You can buy pins and briefcases and scarves and earrings, all kinds of things from the website.
And you can also purchase those Start Seeing Motorcycle signs from most chapters or probably from that website, because a lot of people want to know, how do I get them? You know, where are they? How do I get them? So
right. You have one in your front yard or out by the road. Yeah.
We do.
I think that was the first one I ever saw. Pulling in, I said, watch for motorcycle. What? And it's like, definitely watch for motorcycles. I mean, motorcycles are watching for you, but drivers of other things need to be watching, like you said. It's a two-way street.
It is. It sure is.
Well, nobody wants to be the person who incapacitated a biker. I mean, you know, that's something to live with. And they shouldn't have to. So how many clubs do you think, now not Abate, but other, I mean, there's individual clubs around too. And I know that Abate will join with other groups, but Abate does not exactly like sponsor the Toys for Tots and things like that, but they're big supporters.
They are. They are big supporters of Toys for Tots. And, you know, like you said, they do not join them. They do not say everybody in our group has to go on this Toys for Tots run either. Again, it's called choice. They make it out there and available to you, and they tell you, you know, Johnny, Susie, and Joe and I are going. You know, if anybody would like to go, here's the info. And I think that's, again, because that's what we're about. We are about choice and education and, you know, that's what we do, and we also have people that go to Springfield and lobby for us. You know, there's some things going on right now. And
what is going on now? What are they lobbying about right now, Rita?
Right now, it's the gambling rights in Illinois, and it has to do with basically our poker runs. And somebody's trying to get more of a piece of the pie, several pieces of the pie, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they're lobbying down there for that not to happen. I mean, nonprofit organizations are putting on these things. They don't make the money, you know, and they're giving it to a charitable person, organization, or so on, you know. And for us to have to purchase licenses to do these things, it would just be an astronomical bite out of what we would have to give to the person that it benefits. I mean, that's not what we're about. We're not about taking the money. We're about making the money and giving the money to help for the medical bills or whatever, you know, is coming up. And when you have to pay for several licenses, county, you know, town, whatever, you know, that's it gets costly after a while. So
they're
lobbying against that right now. And they also have a couple other things going on to do with fuel in motorcycles. If it goes to ethanol, I believe it is, that's not good on the engines of our bikes, you know, and it could ruin those engines and cost us much money. And so they're lobbying, you know, to try to get something going with that also, so that it goes the right direction. And they just do a lot of good down there. Our representatives go down there at the meeting. Our bogey is at every meeting, lets us know what's going on, what the progress is, asks if there's anything that needs to be assigned, and all that. And also a bait down in Springfield has a meeting every month, and they also have seminars. And they get awards at the end of the year for safety and different things. The chapter that goes out and does their safety stuff and whatnot, you know. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. But it's mainly education. It's education.
Right.
How are you going to know if someone doesn't tell you? Then you can take the food for thought and do whatever you wish.
Exactly. Then you at least you have something to compare it to, something to think over, and make your choice based on all the information. So, Rita, thank you so much. We're going to have you back in the spring when most people in Illinois will be taking their bikes out of storage. I say most, but the people I know, yeah, don't do a lot of riding in the wintertime. Yeah.
No, it's not a good idea.
but it's good to go around to schools now and, you know, be teaching things. But thank you so much. And for more information, again, www.abate.il.org. Lots of information there. Abate has been in, I'll say, business. It's been started about 26 years ago, and it has been educating all that time, and lots more to come. So thank you so much, Rita.
Well, you're welcome, and you guys have a good evening, and we'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was Rita Mullen with Abate, and lots of information for bikers, potential bikers, and drivers of other vehicles. So now we're going right on to Sarit Jacobson. Hello, Sarit.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, I am great, and I hope you are. I know that there's been a lot of things happening in Palestine and Israel, and you have lots of info for us. So
I wish I had more, but I have some limited information because it's so hard to get information. The things I want to talk about have not been covered in the media, so I found out from my Israeli friends that another person has lit himself on fire in Israel.
We never get that from mainstream media here, and yet this self-immolation, it's picking up in Israel. Lighting yourself, self-immolation, it's picking up. There's more and more Israelis doing this.
Once a month, and I looked into it to see who they are. They're lefties.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I totally understand. If I lived in Israel, I totally, that thought would cross my mind, to be honest. And it's just so hard to see what they're doing.
Well, one of my friends today said that he had spent 9 months in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most racist place he had ever been. He said he would never go back there.
And I live in the South, and I feel like it's better here. I live in Tennessee.
Right. So
at
that's
the moment,
quite a
it's
bit.
It's a great relief for me to be here than there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe? I feel the change. I feel a great relief. I can walk down the street and everything's a little nicer.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to talk about, so because there's so much happening. Instead of going to the details of what is happening in Palestine, I can just say in Palestine life is just hell at the moment, especially Gaza, flooded in sewer, no gas, not enough food, no heating in the winter. Just I can't even imagine.
Well, they did shoot at some more fishermen.
Every day they've been day they've been bombing from the sky. And
right.
They're probably things that are not getting to us because they don't have internet. I just know from breaking the silence that they practice with live ammunition in Palestinian villages.
Right.
At night.
So, see,
that never gets in the mainstream media either.
Just terrorizing people.
Oh, I can't even imagine that. Because I've never been a Palestinian. I just know I get scared hearing it.
Yeah. That's, well, just the idea, because we know this is 2013. And it's not, you know, like 200 years ago, whenever they first started coming out with muskets or things. I guess that was before that. But, you know, it would... Like, if you had a building that was made out of a lot, you know, big stone or stone, and somebody's quite a distance and they shoot, it's not going to go through the building kind of thing. Now, there is nothing to prevent. I mean, they've got first-class weapons, you know, courtesy of the U.S. And so, I mean, when they're out doing this with live ammo, I mean, it can go through any kind of buildings. It can hit your child, sleeping, anything.
Absolutely.
There is no... go ahead. I'm sorry.
It has gone through buildings before, so...
Sure. And it's like, oh, oops, kind of thing. You know, it doesn't matter to them. I did see one of the headlines where Bibi Netanyahu was supposedly telling President Abbas that he should support a Jewish nation, which I thought I was going to throw up behind. He's such a work, and we keep hearing more and more about the racism. I just can't get it. I saw something else about all the Africans who had come there. And, you know, looking for refuge in a better place. And, you know, they're really not anti-Israel. I mean, they want to support the country and have a good life. But the way they've been, you know, abused, used, and...
demographic threat.
Shipped back who they could. It's horrid. I don't know.
Sadly, there's only a few people getting arrested... going to the African refugee jail. Here they're calling for nonviolent action. Not enough people even seem to care.
Well, I think a lot of people don't know. There again, like you've mentioned before, and everything I read points right there, the people in that tiny, tiny country do not have, even though they're online and different things, they've been so brainwashed, the ones that are online, and then a lot of them just don't get it. I mean, the propaganda there and the keeping the truth out of the media is amazing how they do it.
It really is.
The people don't know. They really don't get it. And then people like Hammer and Guy, Amnon, you know, all these people who are being picked up, jailed, getting out, I mean, beat up. You know, these are Israeli people who are really putting their lives on the line for the right.
They are. They're all getting death threats. I see the death threats they get. They share it on their wall sometimes. Not just that. They openly death threat people on public forums on the internet. For example, there was a car accident where a one-year-old Palestinian girl was hurt. I'll say it again. She's 1 year old. And these are the comments. Comment number one, take off her head. Comment number two. Oh, they're horrible comments.
What about a baby?
A baby who's 1 year old. Comment number two, kill her out of mercy because she might grow up to be a shaheed. Three, poison her. Four, send her to the gas chamber. Five, let the Arab whore die. Six, poison her. Seven, murder her. The dog. Eight, and there's nothing besides racist comments from the main, that's from their mainstream media news comments. Eight, hope she dies with all the Arab that settle in Israel. Nine, kill her. So they're thinking the Arabs are settlers.
See? It's such a different perspective because some of them actually think they have a right to be there, like stealing land. And, you know, like we call the settlers squatters because they're on stolen land. But so they're calling the Arabs settlers.
Yeah. It's totally insane.
Anybody who says that about a child, you know, there's just something really deeply wrong with them.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They talk this way about raping women sometimes in the open, or the way they talk about women and minorities, and sometimes even...
You recently saw in one of the groups, because you're very fluent in Hebrew, reading and writing and speaking, so you saw where these guys were just bragging and laughing about rape.
Oh, yeah. I showed it to you. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, now instead of talking, there's always a good smoke screen in Israel. The smoke screen now is that one of their famous musicians ended up with a 14-year-old. So now they'll just talk about that nonstop.
Ended up with her.
Yeah, and now they're arguing if it's rape or not rape, or if he did the good thing or a bad thing. Everyone—that's what they're talking about.
I mean, she's 14. You know, years and
maybe.
Years ago, you know, 14-year-old girls used to get married. Now, not exactly. But to think that it's okay and funny, even. There again, just like with that baby, these people are having some mental disturbances.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, the propaganda, the brainwashing has really worked for them because they really think that all Arabs, well, everybody who isn't Jewish, they think are, you know, subhuman. And then a great deal of them think that women are subhuman also.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Totally true. Also, I've seen these, what's it called, flyers they give around in Israel to the women where it tells them to cover up their skin because of God. They say the feminists, for example, make God angry at Israel and it's all our fault. Bad things are happening.
Okay, now that must be the, like somewhere to the conservative right-wing Orthodox people, maybe?
Yeah, they're pretty huge. They make a lot of, they multiply quickly. There's more of them now than there were 20 years ago. So if they keep growing the way they're growing, one day women will lose their rights there. Not that they have any now. They don't have a, the rights in marriage are not equal. The Jewish marriages are very oppressive towards women. You know how you say husband in Hebrew? Owner. Owner, Baal, which means to own. See, if you're a female, you have to have an owner. It's such a weird, it's such a chauvinist language that just mind-blowing. Female comes from the, it means nekeva, which comes from the word nekev, which is a hole. It's just a sick. Such a sick.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is.
Well,
isn't it? If you come from that kind of a background, I mean, it's very hard then for them to look upon women as equals. If you know, when you come from...
My Israeli men friends treat me as equal. I don't know how, but apparently there's a lot of bad people there because I see them on the all kinds of internet forums and...
Yeah.
See who they voted for, and you can kind of sense the temperature of a country by talking to many people.
Right.
And I still have childhood friends from there.
Yeah, I mean, I know you still have friends there, and you have a lot of friends from the internet there too, but you did lose some friends. Because
I lost a few.
Yeah. But
you know what the Israeli people say every time there's a war? They say, oh, time to lose some friends. Because whenever there's a war in Gaza, so the Israeli left gets so angry that we fight with our friends who are not angry about it.
Right, right. It's like, well, there's something wrong with them, so how can you not care? And, you know.
Yeah, it drives me insane when Israel bombs Gaza. I just want some Palestinian people to know. It drives many Israeli people insane. We're so frustrated and so not knowing what to do right now.
Yeah,
we don't have power in numbers.
Right. I have a friend here who's Jewish in California, and he seems to continually lose friends because he is so very pro-Palestinian, and, I mean, he makes no bones about it. And he's very smart, I mean, like you, and he tries to nicely educate them, but, you know, there comes a time, and it's just like, okay, they don't want to hear, and so they drop him as a friend. People don't want to. I got into something the other day with a good friend of mine, and I stopped it. It was like, okay, we're done with this for now. You know that SodaStream thing? Well, months and months ago, I mean, I was all over her nicely, but telling her, in the first place, she doesn't need it. She likes to spend money, but she doesn't need it. And I said, you know, you're supporting Israel and blah, blah. So after a while, I didn't hear anything else about it. And I thought, well, she must have listened. Well, then the other day we were on the phone. She doesn't live right here. And she was talking to her daughter, and she said something. And then she said, can you hear that? And I said, no. And she said, well, it's the SodaStream. It's the best. And I said, well, you got one? And she said, well, yeah. You know, it does this. And I said, but, you know, you're supporting Israel.
The settlement.
Yeah. And she said, well, no. It's made in the U.S. And this, and it's just, you know, and I don't want to lose her. I mean, we are very close. But that was just, I was so upset because even knowing she would go ahead and spend money that goes right there. And that to me is very troubling, to buy something you don't need and to support the settlements like that. You know, so I think a lot of folks, we're running into that a lot. It's
people, but yet they will mouth, oh, that's terrible, terrible, what's being done to the Palestinians. But then they're supporting it. I mean, you know, aside from the fact that homemade hummus is best anyway, you know, it's one of those things in the store, like you don't buy hummus from Israel. You don't, you know, that you just get used to not buying certain products.
By the way, the BDS is really helping.
Yes. But we have to keep doing it. And, I mean, we have to keep, you know, reminding people. So, I mean,
I know it's really helping because right-wingers are attacking me for supporting it.
Well, yeah, well, then that means it's working. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they say that because of us, they can't go and kill them all. I'm like, thank you. And they insult me by calling me a beautiful soul, which I always enjoy hearing. But to them, only in Israel, the word beautiful soul is an insult.
Isn't that funny? I mean, not funny, but like
it
ironic.
Is.
Because
it's
like, how is it a beautiful soul?
The crossing in the twilight zone.
Yeah. I mean, a beautiful soul. It's just. Yeah, I mean, it sounds so nice. And then
isn't it?
Yeah, but for it to be an insult.
Oh, no. The Palestinian girl was raped and killed here, they say, by a settler gang. That's from David Mitchell.
Okay, well, yeah, David's on top of things. So that would be
like
in the West Bank somewhere.
Years old, though. She's a child.
How old is she?
Looks 6 years old.
What?
Yeah, like a child. That's terrible. I trust David. He's always
things.
David Mitchell, I recommend following him on Twitter and Facebook. He's one of the greatest activists, very dedicated.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I totally trust him. Oh, okay. Yeah, people follow him, you know, get on Facebook, start checking and Twitter, because you're not going to hear that in mainstream media.
Nothing on mainstream media about Israel is ever true. I've been yelling at my TV for 20 years because they are so one-sided in U.S. about Israel. They wait till the Palestinians do the smallest thing and make a huge deal out of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so annoying. Evidently, some poor little rocket got across the border, and then here come the Israeli drones. They're really going to get everybody. I mean,
drones in Gaza all the time.
Yep. I mean, the rocket didn't even, you know, it landed in some, what do you call it, unpopulated area. It made no difference. It didn't do anything. But yet it gave them all the excuse they needed to, you know, start shooting at people again. I don't know.
They've been also starting to use more live fire on the demonstrations on Friday, arresting more younger children, more night arrests, more practicing in their neighborhoods at night. I mean, army practicing.
Now, that's getting worse because there for quite a while, they were using, in the demonstrations, they were using the tear gas, rubber bullets, but not live ammo. But you know what? People don't seem to realize that a rubber bullet is still a bullet. It's a real bullet that's been coated.
Absolutely. They say they're even more painful.
Yeah. It may not kill quite, depending, though, on where it's, where it hits, but so rubber bullets, I mean, that sounds so like, okay, well, that's fine, but it's not fine. There is nothing fine about it, and we're talking about people in peaceful demonstrations.
For example, there's a village called Kadum where they had a demonstration on Friday against the separation wall. After the demonstration, they came for army to the village and took a kid that looks about six, kidnapped him in the middle of the night.
What a class act. I mean, what can you say? And nothing is done. Very, very, very rarely do any of the military or the SWAT or settlers or anybody have to answer. Just very rarely. And they just pretty much can do whatever. They experiment. They try out new weapons. All of that on the Palestinians.
I don't know how they can ever be forgiven. This is really terrible. Taking children in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, raping that little girl. And then the horrible things they said about that little baby. I mean, things like that, you know, you just don't. You don't get past not very easily. But on the happier side, we are celebrating, well, Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not celebrating the regular Thanksgiving here because to me that's sort of like celebrating Columbus Day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a family and friend holiday. So that's what we have coming up next week. And I think that even though I keep a gratitude journal all the time, but I think that at this time of year here in this country, it's time to really get back to our roots and, you know, find out what we're really thankful for. And, you know, there's so much that we can be thankful for. And I think it does us good to remember some of the things. And, you know, when we compare what we have to be thankful for to what our friends there who are being persecuted have, it really puts things in perspective. And it really, it makes us want to fight even more. I think that's a good thing.
It is.
You know, so I would say when people are doing their prayers around the Thanksgiving table here that they, you know, just remember, eat good vegan food, keep that energy up, because we've got a lot of work ahead of us. I think you agree with me on that.
We have tons of work.
Yep, yeah, but it'll happen. So, well, Sarita, we'll see you back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And so really, really, have a great time next weekend, you and Michael, and, you know, take a couple hours break for yourself along the line because you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And paint.
Oh, yes, I have been.
Beautiful painting. Yes, you have to. That's what you do. And it comes out beautifully. So thank you, my friend. And
thank you.
See you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For some of the best in alternative media, check out the PromiseProjectNetwork.com.